It's two middle-aged dudes and a microphone.
And I'm Craig.
And we're coming to you on this fine evening from the Leeberry Complex, Studio One.
It's our favorite.
Our favorite studio. Out of the three, one is our favorite.
It is. You can't hear a difference when we talk in here, but we know the difference.
It's like home.
It is. It's like a glove that just fits.
Yeah, and this was our first. This is where we recorded episode one. No, episode two.
It's like you weren't even there. So you've been looking on the internet this week for some good stories, right?
Yeah, I think we've got some stories that will be of interest to the listeners.
I'm going to try to make it through this first one.
Both
I don't know if
them?
I can. Both? Well, yeah, that's if one of them is not on vacation.
Why wouldn't you make it through this first one?
The title alone.
Okay, I'll try to read it.
Okay, go for it.
Here's story.
Okay.
So our first story comes to us from PopSugar.com. Headline is, a cat named Limberbutt McCubbins is officially running for president. And I'm going to vote. Just on that name alone, I'll probably write in Limberbutt McCubbins.
I thought that person was already running.
It's going to take much more than an angry tweet from Donald Trump to throw his newest political opponent off balance.
Because he lands on his feet.
Yeah, every time.
Yeah.
A six-year-old cat named Limberbutt McCubbins has officially entered the 2016 presidential race as a self-proclaimed Democratic.
Is that Limberbutt McGookins? McCubbins?
He's running on the Democratic platform.
He's a Democrat.
Aiming to capitalize on prospective third party voters.
I see what you did.
Though McCubbins' grassroots campaign has garnered online popularity thanks to his viral slogan, "The time is meow."
He's really clawing his way to the top, isn't he?
Both the candidate and his campaign manager, Isaac Weiss, believe the path to victory will be rocky at best. Curious cats and interested voters can find a painstakingly thorough list of Limberbutt's campaign platforms, including affordable health care and a return to cat space flight on his official campaign website, and in a thinly veiled effort to acquire the vote of his feline fellows. The Limberbutt campaign site also lists a printable version of the nominee's favorite tuna casserole.
Meow. Me-wow.
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 Hey, on a side note, have you ever written in anybody's name as a protest vote for president or for anything?
Never thought about it.
I have. I have voted for Alfred E. Newman at least three times.
Explain for people that aren't over 60.
Please.
Who he is.
Alfred E. Newman is the cover kid for Mad Magazine.
Mad Magazine.
Yeah.
Did he win?
Never aging. No, but he gathered a lot of votes. One time I voted for him. There was a campaign.
Do other
around.
People see your vote when you put it in?
No.
I mean, not that he's from you, but the person's name.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tallied. They are tallied.
Okay. Wow, we learn a little bit of things. Little bit. English is hard. We learn a lot of little lots. Next story. All right, the next story. Yeah. San Jose,
The home of the Sharks.
I wouldn't know.
No, you're not a sports guy.
San Jose woman orders chicken wings.
Yeah, I love chicken wings.
She gets thousands of dollars instead.
I'll take that.
I want to go to that chicken shack. A woman ordered chicken wings from a local Domino's store and got a lunch order she'll never forget.
That's happened to me before. I've ordered.
I bet. For all the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
On Tuesday afternoon, Spacetel wireless manager Selena Avalos ordered some chicken wings from her local Domino's pizza restaurant. She opened the box thinking that her order was mistakenly swapped for breadsticks, but instead she saw thousands of dollars in cash.
Well, that's bread.
That is bread. If this was the 70s, we'd say, hey, dude, you got some bread?
Put some sticks in there.
I don't want the breadsticks. I want the
bread.
The bread, bro.
Oh.
The bread, bro. She immediately called the downtown Domino's store where she had placed her order in hopes of getting in touch with a manager. Nobody had called her back.
Oh my gosh.
For days. Avalos was confused. Wouldn't they be thinking, where'd all that money go? Right away, maybe next day, she asked. But like 3 days later, still nothing. It's crazy. Without a clear response, Avalos turned to KGO-TV for help. After getting in touch with Domino's corporate, KGO was able to connect Avalos with the franchise owner. Not wanting to keep the money.
Why not? I know she wants to get the money back, but...
I thought you gave it to the police if nobody claimed it after so long.
That's right.
You got to keep it.
Yeah.
But apparently Avalos wanted to make sure that the money got back where it belonged.
Yeah. Okay.
So not good. Wanting to keep the money, she aimed to return the funds much sooner.
Well, I can keep it. It's a crazy amount of money. It's not like it's a 20 you find, you know. It's almost $5,000.
Avalos said. For her honesty, her employer is giving her a week off with pay.
How nice. Take a week of vacation.
She will also receive free pizza for an entire year.
That's worth more than $5,000 in my house.
This mix-up shows that honesty can get you some dough.
Oh.
Pizza dough, that
nice.
Is. We're going to get letters over that, aren't we?
I don't know.
Because I was doing the voice.
We might. Hey, you know what, people? You take yourself too seriously.
Amen.
You can make fun of me all day long. You probably have been anyway.
And if anybody's forcing you to listen to this podcast, let us know. We'll try to stop them.
Or we'll pay them. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, Craig.
Do you know where Samuel L. Jackson could be found right now?
I'm guessing Hollywood.
Or maybe in the store. You know why?
Why?
We got snakes on a train. And it halted a Japanese bullet express.
Snakes on a train?
Snakes on a train. A Japanese bullet train was forced to make an emergency stop on Monday after a snake was found slithering between the seats,
nightmare.
Local media reported. A passenger spotted the 30-centimeter serpent poking between a gap in the seats, prompting the train traveling between Tokyo and Hiroshima to stop and allow police to capture the slippery stowaway.
Wait a second. That's a tiny snake.
What, 30 centimeters?
Yeah, it's like a foot long. It's just a foot.
Well, that's not anything to stop a train over.
No, it's not. That's what I'm saying.
This is...
Somebody should bag it and tag it, Dano.
Yeah. Despite its menacing appearance, the brown snake was not believed to be poisonous and no injuries were reported, according to I'm just thinking about him with his wee little suitcases moving through the train car.
A little top hat.
I can't wait to get here. Oh, it's going to be so great. I just want to go to Hiroshima. Oh.
First time on a train.
I'm on a train. Oh, this is the best.
Despite its menacing appearance, he was not believed to be poisonous and no injuries were reported. They think it was a juvenile rat snake. I was like, how do you say it's not poisonous if it's it's a rat snake? Train staff made announcements asking if any passengers had misplaced the snake.
Oh, excuse me. Anyone here a little snake?
We found the snake in gold.
We find snake and no one want it. We made dinner.
He got hat.
He got hat. A little wee suitcase. What's in a little suitcase? He's snake.
Japan's bullet trains are famous for their punctuality, and the Nozomi 103 service is no exception, arriving in Hiroshima right on time despite the reptilian intrusion.
Aha.
5 years ago, a meter-long Honduran milk snake.
Oh, man, I cannot believe I'm on a train.
Also non-venomous, despite its fearsome red and black stripe.
Fearsome.
Was discovered on a bullet train near Kyoto, bringing it to a halt. Bullet train operators prohibit passengers from bringing animals other than small birds or fish in containers on board, where seemingly benign issues such as leaves on the track can delay trains in Britain. Bullet trains rarely stop in Japan.
Why are they poking on Britain? I mean, that's like...
Just really threw it out.
They sure did. What's up with that?
It usually takes they take it up a notch here.
You know why?
It takes a major incident, such as a suicide or an earthquake, to bring them to a halt. See,
that's awful. You know why? Look where it's from. France24.com.
Oh, obviously France just got it out for them.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a slap in the face to
feel so bad.
To our British friends.
Don't ever do that again. I mean, it's bad enough when I do it. I mean, not me, that other person.
Yeah. All right, Craig, got a theme song.
All righty.
Man asks cops if they found his briefcase full of cocaine.
Excuse me, sir. You haven't happened to find my briefcase here, have you? It's got a little bit of white powder around it on the outside.
This comes to us from KSDK News 5. And from Seattle, a man was arrested Sunday after asking police if they had found his misplaced briefcase. It was full of cocaine.
Cocaine.
Seattle's police say the 19-year-old stopped to pet someone's dog, but left his briefcase behind. The dog's owner grabbed it, and handed it over to an officer who was directing traffic outside CenturyLink Field Sunday. The officer opened it in hopes of locating the owner. I don't think he'd be in there.
I don't think he would fit.
The officer opened
Unless it was that snake.
It could have been. The officer opened it in hopes of locating the owner. Inside, he found four large bags, 27 smaller bags, all full of cocaine, 154 grams in all. It also contained the man's ID card, a cell phone, a scale, 500 pills, and a small amount of marijuana.
This guy's not good at this.
All because he wanted to pet a dog. That's why I could never be a criminal.
This guy is really bad at this job.
Very. Not long after that, the owner stopped back at the cemetery at the CenturyLink.
No, he was heading there. Figuratively.
Not long after that, the owner stopped back at the CenturyLink and asked officers if they had found a briefcase. Police say the man claimed it had...
He was like, hey, guys, hey, listen, I just wonder if you guys might have seen... I just love the... Hey, what was that? Hey, what, yeah, hey, did you guys got it? I'm looking for... Hey, over here.
Police say...
Calm down, man. Calm down.
Police say the man claimed it had important paperwork he needed right away. I got to find that briefcase, see?
Look, fellas, I'm looking for something, see? And I don't know how to explain it to you, but it's going to look bad when you see it. Officer, it's not what you think.
It's got my important rolling papers. Important papers.
Yeah.
He was arrested and booked into King County Jail for possession of narcotics with intent to distribute.
Okay, next headline.
Yeah.
Australian woman finds Eastern brown snake in UGG boot.
Good day, snake in my boot.
Yeah, don't. Australia's not going to like us after that last show. And when you say UGG, I want to hear you say UGG. An Australian woman has called wildlife wranglers to evict a 1 meter long.
We don't have wildlife wranglers.
No.
They have more wildlife than we do.
They have wildlife that wants to kill you.
Yeah, a bunch of it.
Have you ever seen the funnel web spider?
No.
Ooh, it's crazy.
I'd like to see it.
Oh, no, you wouldn't.
You got one?
No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't.
I wonder if they have any wildlife Levi's.
That's not funny. Those denim things died so you could have jeans. An Australian woman has called the wranglers to evict a 1 meter long venomous snake from her UGG boot. Snake catcher Raleigh Burrell.
Hello, Raleigh.
Hey, Raleigh. Hey, mate. You get me that snake over there? It's in that UGG boot. Snake catcher Raleigh caught the Eastern brown snake at the woman's home in Adelaide, South Australia. She had stepped outside her southern suburbs home to collect her shoes and saw a brown tail disappear into her boot.
What if she hadn't seen that?
Well, I think anytime
there's a snake in my boot.
Yeah. I think anytime you live in a place like here, we have brown recluse spiders.
Yeah.
Well, if I keep shoes under the bed, a lot of times I'll knock them out a little bit, make sure there's nothing in. If you live in the Southwest where there's scorpions, you want to make sure there's no scorpion in your shoe. If you live in Australia and you leave your shoes outside, you probably want to make sure there's a number of things that haven't crawled into your shoe. The species is considered one of the most venomous land snakes and is found along the coast and inland areas of mainland Australia. She went outside to get her UGG boots, and she saw something shoot in there, Mr. Burrell told the BBC. She realized it was a snake.
Yeah.
I just had a dramatic pause there because I thought...
That was a susur.
I thought when he said that, I just imagined the guy going, we know. That's why we're here.
Probably, yeah.
Why are you?
Except it'd have been more like, yeah, we know, right?
Why could you not say, okay, you need to stop, okay?
Crikey, got a snake in your boot.
You know what?
What?
If we start getting ugly letters from Australia.
Ugly letters.
The typically shy breed was released back into the wild away from built-up areas. Mr. Burrell said his company had been called on to remove a snake from another shoe once a year.
That snake's in the shoes down there.
Boots made of sheepskin with a woolly interior are something of an Australian icon and make a cozy spot for a snake to warm up. Mm. How about you not leave your boots outside? Mr. Burrell suggested the footwear decampment was a result of shifting temperatures after an unreasonably long winter. They're all just starting to wake up from their sleep, Mr. Burrell said. Their mating season has started.
So they're out and about.
They're out and about.
Next story. Headline is, man wins lotto fortune after rude customer pushes in front of him in the line. Calls it Good karma.
That's pretty good karma.
I hope the guy was still there.
I hope. Yeah, me too.
Most people get angry if someone pushes in front of them in a line. Imagine waiting patiently in line for a train ticket, only for someone to barge in front of you, seemingly oblivious to any etiquette whatsoever. So much stress. But let's try to keep cool, shall we? One man did, and his calm demeanor paid off in a big way. His fine temperament made him a millionaire.
Cha-ching.
Wishing to remain anonymous, the New Zealand man won $1 million in the lottery.
We have a friend in New Zealand.
We sure do.
Yeah, we do. More on that later.
Hello, Mark.
Yeah, shout out to Mark.
As he lined up at his local shop in Tauranga on the North Island, another customer cut in front of him.
They have the best names down there in New Zealand.
And I just torture them.
Tauranga, yeah. Te Awamutu.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Look at you listing names. Go.
No. I have to be here for the show.
But he wasn't in a rush. He told the New Zealand Herald that he had decided against challenging the impatient shopper's rudeness. He just picked up his lotto ticket a minute or so later and casually walked away.
He just sashayed right up there and said,
I'm in no hurry.
Yeah.
And then he won $1
million. $1 million.
$1 million. I wasn't in any hurry, so I just let them go ahead and didn't say anything, he told the paper. I guess good karma pays off. If that hadn't happened, they might have had the winning ticket, not me.
No, they would have had the winning ticket.
That's true.
Because nothing changed except he was the next
guy. That's right. The unnamed man said he didn't check his ticket for a few days.
Oh, good. That way there was a fight that broke out.
Right. Having put it in a safe spot and forgotten it. When he did check it, he was surprised.
He was gobsmacked. Say it. Call it what it is, Aaron. He was gobsmacked.
He had every number correct. My mind went blank and I wasn't thinking properly, so I just put the ticket away and went to work as usual, he explained.
I'm just going
to
put this $1 million here and I'm going to go back and put some toothpaste caps on something.
After telling his wife and collecting his winnings, the pair said they're absolutely thrilled with the money and plan to buy a house.
Good for them.
Obviously, the prize is even sweeter given thanks to its being... Obviously, the prize is even sweeter...
Sweater. Obviously, the prize was actually a sweater.
With $1 million on the front.
Yeah. 1 million boxes.
And inside each box?
A little box.
With a dollar. Obviously, the prize is even sweeter, given it's all thanks to being nice.
What a swell story. I like that story.
You know what? You're not going to hear that on your local news.
But good for that guy. And if this guy happens to be somehow listening when we're around that area, we're playing in that area, hopefully soon, if we were, just saying.
Maybe Mark could tell him.
Maybe our good friend. Okay, you shouted out to Mark enough. Don't say Mark again.
Mark.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Are we going to do, this is about sports. So you can ask me, because I know about the sports.
That's right.
You know, I know all about it.
Okay.
I'm all about sports. That's me. When you think of sports, you think of me.
You don't know sports.
I do, too. Just ask me a question.
Bo Jackson was a superstar in what sport?
He was a goalie for the 49ers.
Okay. What do they play hockey on?
They play it on a sheet of formica.
What's the number one rule in soccer?
You can only tackle somebody if they're at the 3-point shot line right in front of the goal.
How many players on a team of Quidditch?
Oh, that's easy. There's 72.
I don't know the answer to that one.
That's
a Harry Potter.
So, I know. I got that. Uh-huh. So, okay, now that we've established that I know sports.
Oh, it's this story.
Yes.
Okay, hang on. We got a theme song.
Seahawks fans team up to rescue man from overturned portable toilet.
Ew.
Yeah, we had one of these before where a guy fell into the toilet. Remember that?
No, that guy jumped in to save a cell phone.
Yeah. Los Angeles Rams and Seattle Seahawks fans set aside their differences after a recent game to rescue a fan from an overturned portable toilet.
Oh.
Jordan Rambis posted a video to Instagram showing a man in a Rams jersey attempting to open the locked door to an overturned portable toilet September 18th following the game in Los Angeles.
Nice of him.
A man wearing a Seahawks shirt soon joins the man and is able to yank the door open, freeing the fan trapped inside.
Nice.
Why do they want to get the fan out? Do those things normally have fans? Because the ones I've been in are really hot, and there's not a fan. Or were they trying to steal the fan?
You're adding humor to this heartwarming story.
Oh, I'm sorry.
These two opposing fans coming together for the betterment of mankind.
Okay. A Seahawks fan tipped a guy over while he was in a porta potty, Rambus wrote.
That's a nightmare.
He said the incident, coupled with his cooler being stolen by a woman whom he and his friends had offered to feed, left him ready for NBA season.
How about that? This guy, this is not his day.
Yep. The National Boating Association. He is so looking forward to that. I tell you, people, you need to know sports. I know sports.
Seriously, real quick, I want to. So this guy gets to the game, right, and he's got food in his cooler.
Right.
Sees some lady and offers, hey,
offers to feed her.
You want a sandwich? I've got plenty. Yeah. Turns around, she's gone with his cooler.
With his cooler,
full of everything.
Must have been a good sandwich.
He says, "Darn!" Right, and goes watches the game.
I bet that's not what he said.
Halftime comes out, use the bathroom or the restroom or the porta potty. In this instance,
same thing.
Somebody tips it over.
Why would you do that?
I'd never go to another football
game.
And
be covered in that stuff.
That's so gross.
And I say stuff, I don't mean just that stuff. But there's chemicals and, I mean, he wasn't even going in for a cell phone.
No. Hey, would you go in for your iPhone 7?
No.
If you dropped it?
It's waterproof.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, it's water resistant.
Would you?
No. No.
Okay, next story. Man gets bitten by snake while trying to snap a selfie in India.
Why was the snake trying to snap a selfie?
Tourist. He was a tourist snake.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, how do you push the button?
He don't have fingers.
He doesn't have fingers.
He used Bluetooth.
Oh, I see what you did there.
A man has been bitten by a python after trying to take a selfie with the creature. The ill-advised...
Wait. What? So the guy was trying to take a selfie that included the creature in the picture?
Yes. Yes. And I've seen the video, and it's creepy. The ill-advised move came after the creature was removed from a school in India's northwestern Rajasthan state. The Forest Department officials removed the snake from the school. They were holding the python and posing for pictures after successfully capturing it. A man then moved in closer for a selfie and was attacked by the snake, which lunged forward and bit him on the shoulder. The snake was taken away, and the man only suffered minor injuries, according to India Today.
That's not really Python's MO. I mean, pythons usually cuddle up with you and squeeze you to death. What's his attitude biting somebody?
He had had it. There were like four guys holding on to him walking down the street. He was
and they took his camera.
Yeah.
Headline. Drone to the face doesn't stop Bones Thugs and Harmony show. The hip-hop rhythms of Bones Thugs and Harmony are too fierce to be stopped even by a drone to the face.
Boom. Ouch.
The group was performing at the High Life Music Festival in Victorville on Sunday when a drone buzzed up and smacked rapper Stanley Flesh and Bone Howes in the face. He winced.
Sure.
And grabbed his head. But he and the rest of the group didn't stop the show or even the song.
You know what this is? That thing hit him in the face, and he was in excruciating pain, but his band members didn't give a flip.
No, they didn't
care. They just kept right on playing.
They really didn't even care. It's not clear whether a fan, the band, or someone connected to the festival had launched the drone, which was about 2 feet wide. Well, that's the problem. They launched it. You're supposed to let it just take off. Bone Thugs and Harmony, whose other members are Busy Bone,
oh, Busy,
Wishbone, Lazy Bone, and Crazy Bone, began in Cleveland in 1993 and is known for mixing singing with rap. I'm going to check those dudes out.
I don't know anything about them.
I don't either, but I'm going to check them out.
I've heard the name before.
We'll have them on the show.
With a drone.
With it. Bzzz. Oh!
Next story. Canterbury University student injured. You want to know how?
Lay it on me.
After jumping off a roof into a paddling pool with his hair on fire.
That's a lot going on at once.
A student has a serious spinal fracture after leaping off a two-story house as a stunt to join a university committee.
Is that like a frat or something?
Okay. Yeah. The 20-year-old man had lit his hair on fire.
That had to stink.
And landed in an inflatable paddling pool.
I guess that to us would be a little...
Hi.
Would be like a little kiddie pool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a
little inflatable kiddie pool.
Right. A spectator filmed the plunge at the property. The video was played at the University of Canterbury Engineering Society.
So the guy gets hurt and they still play it?
Sure. It's entertainment now. ENSCO's guidelines state a filmed stunt is a requirement for candidates hoping to join the committee. So in order for him to get into this fraternity, he had to film a stunt of some sort.
So he could try to stop that bullet train we talked about at one point with his forehead.
Or he may have jumped the Snake River Canyon in a rocket. You know, he could have filmed any of that.
Stuff like that.
But the 20-year-old remains in the hospital. According to the society's guidelines for potential candidates, nominees are required to notify the director of the stunt prior to the filming. So he said he got it cleared.
Wow. He said, I'm going to light my head on fire and I'm going to jump off a building. Is that cool?
Yeah, it's cool.
Here's what he did. He said, for my stunt guys, I'm going to jump into a pool. And they said, okay.
They said, okay.
Yeah, you can do that.
And then he walked up and was like, we light a fluid on my head.
The 20-year-old flatmates, who would not give their names, said the student had...
I'm not going to give my name.
Said the school had scrapped the stunt requirement this year because of the accident. So, hair on fire, jump to bull, break his back.
Crazy Brits.
Just to get into...
Crazy, crazy Brits.
A frat.
Crazy, crazy Brits.
Frat brat.
Okay, the next one I think is actually a story I sent you for a change.
Yeah, this is a story Craig found. And, yeah,
shall I read it or do you want to read it?
I'll take it. It's pretty interesting.
It's got no big words, so you could use this.
That's funny.
This
actually
This would help you out.
The son of a Chinese billionaire bought his dog 8 iPhone 7s. What do you think about that? What do you think about the headline alone? It sounds ridiculous, right?
I've seen the picture of the dog wearing the watches, and I'm just thinking.
This poor dog.
How much of a jack wagon do you have to be? But hey, it's his money. Hope he eventually gave them to somebody else.
He didn't. Hong Kong. Apple fans lined up across China last week to get their hands on the latest iPhone while others tried to smuggle handsets in from Hong Kong.
Try to what?
Smuggle.
I thought you said smuggle.
Nah, maybe I did.
Smuggly, smuggly.
But one iPhone user didn't have to worry.
He didn't have to worry at all.
Coco, the Alaskan Malamute. Is that right?
Malamute.
That's what I said, Malamute.
You can do that sentence again if you want.
But one iPhone user didn't have to worry, Craig. You know why?
Why?
Well, his name is Coco, the Alaskan Malamute.
Well, he shouldn't have to worry.
And Coco's owner, Wang Sikgong, son of Chinese billionaire Wang Jinalin, estimated worth $30 billion, bought her iPhone 7 handsets on the day of their release, according to photos posted on the dog's verified
Weibo
social media account.
Okay.
We've discussed Weibo.
I remember Weibo.
Yeah.
It wobbles, but it never falls down.
Oh, and it's Weibo is China's equivalent to Twitter, I think. So Coco poses with her black and rose gold iPhone 7 handsets. In China, an iPhone 6 cost almost 7,000 yuan, which is 1,047 American dollars, while the larger iPhone 7 Plus goes for almost 8,000 yuan, which is about 1,200 U.S. dollars. This isn't the first time Wang has doted on Coco in this fashion. In 2015, he attracted widespread outrage in China after posting photos of the dog wearing two Apple Watches with luxury bands worth upwards of $37,000.
Like he attracted widespread outrage. They're in China. Isn't there a lot more important things to be outraged about?
Really?
I mean, come on.
Hey, his dog's wearing a watch.
Maybe that's the only thing they're allowed to be outraged about.
Yeah, maybe.
And there's no sarcasm. Oh, wait, that's Korea.
So he's part of China's second generation rich, the sons and daughters of tycoons that are best known for flaunting their decadent lifestyle.
So it's a tradition. Okay, looks like that wraps up another two middle-aged dudes in a microphone.
That was fun.
That was actually pretty good stories there.
I think so.
I think that we've all grown a little. Don't you think we've become better as a society?
Yes, I think so.
And we just need people now to get out there, review the show.
Yep.
Rate the show.
Please.
Buy a t-shirt. Heck, go to Facebook, look up two middle-aged dudes.
Yeah.
Get you a t-shirt.
And come back next time, please.
Yeah, please. Because if you don't, you won't.
See you then.
Bye.
It's two middle-aged dudes and a microphone.